Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening. We give God praise for this Word Wednesday. God is good all the time, and all the time our God is good. I cannot say that enough. God is good to me, and I know God is good to you. In spite of what we're facing, in spite of what we're walking through, in spite of what we've been through, our confession and our decree and our declaration should always be, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Hallelujah. Sounds like a cliche, but I'll say that cliche until I meet Jesus. Glory be to God. We're here for Word Wednesday. I prayed for the prayer last night. It's something about prayer that sets our week in order. It gives us that strength and that vitality and that vigor that we need to get the victory. Come on, somebody here. I said the vitality and the vigor and the energy and the stamina to get the victory. Because in these last and evil days and in this end age time, we need more than just our physical strength or more than just what we used to go on or go by, but we need the anointing from God, the supernatural power of God. And then in the natural, we need to take care of our health and our bodies and eat right, exercise, do the right things by putting the right things into our bodies and taking care of ourselves, not overeating, not overindulging. And then, glory be to God, we got to tap into God's word through prayer and through reading and studying. He says, study to show yourselves approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth, that we won't be ashamed and won't be shamed. That's what theology means, the study of the Bible, the study of God's word. Hermeneutics is when we get the interpretation of God's word, kind of what I try to do a little bit on Wednesday night, really not line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's what the Bible says. But we do get into theology to a degree. And I want to go, with that said, to the book of Lamentation. The book of Lamentation. Pastor, what is a lamentation? Lamentation, that's where God led me tonight to start. The lesson tonight and the lesson today, this evening, is faith makes it possible. Come on here. Faith makes it possible. Faith makes it possible. That's what I want to talk about tonight. That's what I want to teach from tonight. And we are going to look at some instances where the faith of that person or people made it, whatever it was, possible. And we are looking at Lamentation. If you don't know what that is, think about the prophet Jeremiah. He wrote Lamentation, and it's right after the book of Jeremiah. One of the reasons they call him the weeping prophet, the word lamentation means to grieve and to mourn and to travail and to cry and to weep. And Jeremiah writes Lamentations. It's five chapters. Better yet, it's five poems that Jeremiah wrote. But in the middle of the five chapters, in chapter number 3 is where I'm going, is a beautiful pause for the cause here where Jeremiah, the prophet, has hope. The other chapters, chapter 1, 2, and 4, he's describing the captivity of Babylon, Babylonian captivity of the people of God, Jerusalem, Judah, the children of Israel, through their disobedience to God. God told them through the prophet that they would be handed over to Babylonian captivity. And if you know anything about Babylon back in that day, if you thought Pharaoh and the Egyptians were brutal and the Syrians, God described the Babylonians as people that did not fear God. They delighted in torturing people. They delighted in making people suffer. But don't worry, I'm not going to stay here too long because my lesson is positive tonight. My lesson is high and it's optimistic and it's hopeful. And that's why I want to start at Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21. We're talking about faith. Faith makes it possible. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we know that faith is the substance of all those things that we're hoping for and the evidence of things not seen. I love Steve Harvey the way he says it. Faith is the belief in the things that you cannot see. And many of you are hoping and believing and praying and waiting for God to do something different and mighty in your life. And you are in the right place. You are in the right spirit. You are in the right posture. And these verses that I'm going to read will show you that. Lamentation chapter 3, we're going to start at verse number 21. But as I was saying, there are five poems here, five chapters. And Jeremiah is simply describing the state and the condition of Babylonian captivity. But in chapter 5, he ends the poetic writings with a prayer of forgiveness. He's asking God to forgive the people, and he's praying for forgiveness for the people of God. Sometimes we got to repent, we got to turn, we have to change, we have to show remorse to God, we have to have some regret sometimes of things we've done willfully that were not pleasing to God, because the enemy would use that because he is the accuser of the brethren, trying to put shame and guilt and condemnation on our lives. You'll be amazed how many people struggle with condemnation, guilt, and shame of something that happened so long ago. Or maybe it didn't happen long ago. It's in the past, though. And the enemy would take that thing, if you're not careful, and try to put condemnation onto you. But the Bible says, therefore, Romans chapter 8, 1, therefore there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ. And it's not part of my lesson, but I might go to 1 John, because maybe we need to see it. That's why God puts it in my spirit right now. 1 John, where he says, if you confess, I'll cleanse you. Glory be to God. If you confess, I will cleanse you. And sometimes we got to confess certain things. He's waiting on us to confess it first. But Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21, again, faith makes it possible. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good. Come on, somebody. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Did you hear God? The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Three things I want to point out real quickly, and then we're going to move on to more details about my topic tonight. But number one, we see from verse 1 and 2, never lose hope. The prophet Jeremiah, he says, I recall and I put in my mind to have hope in God. Because he said his compassion fails not, and God is faithful, so much so that his mercies are new every morning. In other words, you had a brand new start today. Come on here. Glory be to God. You, I know it's July 1st. We're in a new month. But the Bible says today, as we opened our eyes, as the sun rose, as God gave us a new day, the Bible says there was a new mercy that accompanied that awakening. Oh, my God, my God. I love the word of God, because there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. And the fact that it's a new day and it's a new season, that brings me encouragement. That does something to my psyche, my spirit. That gives me joy unspeakable, knowing that I have another opportunity, knowing that I have another chance, knowing that there's grace that has been afforded to me once again. Who is God talking to right there? There's something that you're in and something that you're seeking and something that you're wanting, and I'm here tonight to tell you faith is going to make it possible. You want that child to turn around. You want that marriage to be whole. You want your body to be healed. You want to make more money and get in a self-fulfilling job. You want to start your own business. You want to become that landlord. You want to help more people. You want to fulfill your purpose and your mandate and your call and step into ministry. I'm here to tell you tonight that faith makes it possible. Your faith, even as Pastor preached on Sunday, and I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I said they had faith in Jesus. They had faith in one another. And then the man on the mat who was with the palsy and paralyzed had faith in himself. And they faith, when Jesus saw their faith, amen, when he saw their faith, they got the miracle. This man got his legs back. The people said, we never seen it on this fashion, because Jesus saw their faith. And faith makes all things possible. The Bible says all things are possible for those of us who believe. That's why the devil works on our belief system. He attacks our mind and our thoughts. That's why the devil comes against the head, because the head controls the whole body. And Paul said, I beat my flesh into subjection, and I make it obey me, because sometimes my mind and my body don't want to line up with the will of God. And sometimes, people of God, we have to make our body obey the things of God. We have to make our mind come into alignment with God. We have to make our spirit line up with the Holy Spirit, that we should not grieve it. Glory be to God. My God, I feel something on me tonight in the name of Jesus. Something is pushing me. And sometimes all we have is the fact that it's possible pushing us. Somebody needs to write that down right there. I said sometimes all we have is the fact that it's possible, and the fact that it's possible, that's the reason we're still being pushed toward our purpose and our destiny and to our prosperity. Because sometimes in the natural, we don't have the resources. In the natural, we don't have the support. In the natural, it doesn't look like it's adding up. In the natural, it looks like it's going opposite of what God showed us. But in the spirit realm, it's possible. That's why Jeremiah could write, even after spending four chapters on demise and weeping and lament and grieving and describing the torment of the people of God, he pens about five verses and says, the prophet do still have hope. My God, my God. That's why when we quote Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to give you an expected end. That was written to Jerusalem. That was written to Judah. That was written to the children of Israel. Because God was saying, I know the predicament that you're in, but that's not the plan I had for you. And that's not the plan I have for you. I have plans of good and not of evil. And maybe you find yourself in a hard place right now, but God is able. I said it on a prayer line last night. We have to become prophetic and more prophetic. When Pastor talked about elevation, that thing blessed me so mightily. I think I came home today, or I talked to my wife on the phone, and I said, your word from Sunday is still blessing me. You know, there's certain words that hit you in a way. And elevation, elevation, elevation. I'm that type, and I'm the kind of person that wants to go higher. I want more from God. I expect more from God. I know God is limitless. I know God has no limitations. So the fact that I want more for God, I want him to make me a better person, a better father, a better husband, a better pastor. And then in the natural, I want God to increase my income. I want him to bless me more and more. I want God to give me a long life on this earth. I want God to bless my children, bless my wife, keep her healthy. I want God to do and bless my church family. I want God to just bless and prosper and protect and to preserve and to keep and to serve his people. Yes, some of these things are conditional, but the prophet Jeremiah is teaching us a valuable lesson. No matter how dark it gets in our lives, no matter how dismal it gets, no matter how hard life gets sometimes, never give up your hope. Hold on to your hope. Sometimes go to Matthew chapter number 17. Go to Matthew chapter number 17. Because when Pastor Rebecca talked about elevation and God is going to elevate us and elevate our minds and do some great things, I will never forget when Jesus was teaching his disciples and he said, if somebody sinned against you or harmed you or hurt you, how many times do you have to forgive them? And the Bible says, Jesus said to them, 7 times 77. In other words, it's limitless. If they keep coming back and asking for forgiveness, you have to forgive. And the disciples said to Jesus, and I don't question why they did, they said, Lord, if that's the case, increase our faith. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Faith makes it possible, but sometimes the devil attacks our faith. So when they said, Lord, increase our faith, in other words, they were saying, God, I don't know how many times I can take somebody coming against me, somebody doing harm toward me, someone hating on me, someone being jealous and trying to sabotage me. I don't know how many times I can take that. So, Lord, increase my faith. Get me to that place where I can turn the other cheek. And Jesus did that with his disciples. They became martyrs. They became soul winners. They turned this world upside down because they had the capacity when they were thrown into prison, when they were stoned, when they were ridiculed, and when they were condemned for no reason just by preaching and talking about Jesus, they learned how to endure hardship as a good soldier. Because Jesus did increase their faith where they kept forgiving and they kept forgiving and they kept moving forward by faith. But in Matthew chapter 17, when I think about elevation, here's a description of the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John is with Jesus and they're going up. That's what I'm talking about, elevation. And you know, some prophetic word went forth on the prayer line last night. Talk about elevation and going higher. And that's what's happening here with these three. It's not the 12. It's just Peter, James, and John. They're about to get a revelation. They're about to get a higher understanding. They are about to get a new lens, a new way of seeing, a new perspective, a new perception of who Jesus is in their lives, in the earth, and in heaven. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17, verse number 1. Because when you come to Bible study, when you get more word in you, when you come to prayer on Tuesday night, when you hear a preach word like we heard on Sunday about elevation, guess what? Your revelation is being increased. Your Bible intellect and your knowledge of God, your information and your perspective of who God is now being strengthened and broadened. And that's why so many Christians, and I hate to say it, there's so many believers that can be so much further in life. They can be so much freer in life. They can be so much happier in life if they just get into the Word of God, if they pray more, if they keep coming to church, if they keep lining up with like-minded Christians, getting around positive spiritual people that can lift them up when they're down, that can pray them through a situation, that can speak a word in season and out of season, that have an anointing on their lives that can destroy a yoke. Pastors like my wife and myself that really love God for real. No ulterior agenda. No hidden motive. Nothing ungodly about what we're doing for Christ. So he anoints us and he enables us to be a blessing. And that's what he's about to teach Peter, James, and John before he's resurrected, before he's crucified. He's about to show them something valuable when I'm talking about elevation in their thinking. Watch what happens here in Matthew 17, verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a mountain apart. They're now apart from the other 9 disciples. They're on a mountain. They're not in the valley. Now they're up in a high altitude. And was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Bless Peter's heart. Bless his heart. I tell you, bless Peter. I love Peter's boldness. He is so out of line right here, but Jesus is going to overlook it. He's looking at Moses, who is dead. He's looking at Elijah, who went up in a chariot of fire to God. He's looking at Jesus, the Son of God, being transfigured. And he says, let me make an earthly tabernacle that you 3 can dwell here. Look at verse number 5. While he yet spoke, Peter is now talking. So God is about to interrupt him and let him know what this experience and this encounter is all about. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise. Don't be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen again from the dead. Wow. Jesus left these 3 with a valuable encounter and experience with God that was going to be monumental in them winning this world for God. It was going to be priceless for them going forth fearlessly, without doubt, without reservation. And there's some things that God has shown you. Maybe he's shown you when your kids were younger. You don't know how you made it. But single mom, you made it. You don't know how you made it, man to God. Are always in between jobs, minimum wage jobs, working night and day, working 2 and 3 jobs sometimes. Sometimes you look back and you don't know how you made it. And there are many of us who have had a death-threatening experience, and God brought us through and brought us out. Come on, here's somebody. Glory be to God. Can somebody say amen right there? Can we just pause and give God praise for bringing us out of that trouble, for allowing us to have our lives spared and the devil meant it for evil, for getting us through some challenging times, even when the money was not right. We lost our job and we had no help from nobody, but God got us through those tough years and those tough seasons. Come on here. Glory be to God. That's why so many people I'm talking to right now, you've been faithful in a famine because you know God has been faithful to you. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God has been so, so faithful to you when your best friend walked away, when that person that told you they would never leave you left you anyway. Glory be to God. Sometimes when family didn't act right towards you, God was there. Sometimes, hallelujah, when a job treated you wrong, God was there. In the name of Jesus, when your health possibly started failing, God has always been there to get you out of that sick bed, to allow you to survive that surgery, to wake you up, hallelujah, with a new mercy. That's why I started in Lamentation. You have a new mercy. And right here, Peter is now on the ground, and he's not trying to build the tabernacle because he just heard the voice of God, and he was scared to death. And by the time he woke up, the spirit of Elijah was gone, the spirit of Moses was gone, the voice of God was gone, and now they're back to Jesus, who loved them unconditionally. And he was transfigured, so they saw that he was God in the flesh. He became invisible, yet he was transfigured. He was like the sun, but he was still in his natural body. But he became transfigured to let them know, listen, don't tell nobody until I'm resurrected from the dead. In other words, if I can be transfigured, how can death hold me? How can the grave contain me? I'm showing you guys before it happened who I am. I'm going to be transfigured before your very eyes so you can know you saw the natural man, Jesus, born of Joseph, born of Mary, having brothers and sisters, the carpenter's son. You saw me do the miracles, but I'm going to show you that I'm God also, incarnate in flesh. And the Bible says he took them up apart from everything with no distractions and transfigured himself. And then God the Father showed up and affirmed that this was his son. That's what God is saying to you tonight, beloved. What you're going through, but hear the voice of God. And that's why I went through Matthew 17. I'm admonishing you. I'm encouraging you. Never lose track of the voice of God. Always hear his voice. If you're going through, if this pandemic is really tossing you to and fro, if this COVID-19 has you scared, if you have something pending that's coming up in the near future and you have a little fear and apprehension about it, if you glory be to God, have something on the horizon and you're not sure how it's going to turn out. I'll never forget, we were going down south and we was traveling on Christmas Eve. We will never do that again. My wife will tell you. And her mother's birthday is January 1st on New Year's Day. And one year we were driving to Florida on New Year's Eve. And around 6 o'clock, I lied to you not, everything was shutting down. Stores, pizzeria, gas stations. I mean, it was like a ghost town. Every town we went through, every city we went through, everything was dark and shut up. And you know, when you're driving from New Jersey to down south Florida, you don't want to stop. And it was one time I was driving, and we was in this flow. And I did not want to stop. I knew I was pushing it. I was pushing it beyond the limits with the gas tank. And I said, oh, I'm going to get gas. I'm going to just push it a little longer. I'm going to drive for an hour or two more. And the gas light came on. And I'm thinking I'm going to see a gas station. And my family was sleeping. And I'm driving. And I'm on purpose. And I'm pushing, but I'm praying. Because now my faith is wavering. I don't want to run out of gas. And I'm going to hear from Pastor Rebecca. I don't want to run out of gas because I don't want my kids out here. I don't know what kind of townships these are. I do not want to run out of gas. And this, I know I'm pushing this. And I'm praying and I'm believing God. And all of a sudden, there is a gas station. And I'm telling you, this car was on E. But God kept it going. I don't know who that's for right there. I don't know why I told that story. But sometimes, hallelujah, you feel like you're out of oil. You feel like you're out of energy. You feel like, glory be to God, you have no reserve left, nothing left in the tank. But God says, keep going. God says, keep it moving. God says to you, keep pressing. I gave you a reserve tank. I gave you some reserve oil. I gave you a new wine that will not run out. Oh, my God, my God, my God. That's why I tell you, faith will make a way. Faith will make it possible. Faith makes it possible. And I tell you, I, as long as we take trips again, I would never push it like that again. I tell you, I will pull over at the gas station. Sometimes I'm so paranoid, it'd be like a quarter of a tank. I'd be like, we need gas. We need gas. Because I was scared. I mean, we were pushing it because I did not want to stop. My leg was cramped up. I was on a flow. And when you're flowing like that, you're doing like 70, 80 miles per hour. You're making a lot of progress. I wanted to just get to Florida, and I was pushing it. I think we were in Georgia, and everything was closed down. I mean, everything. And then we finally found the gas station. I was like, whew, thank you, Jesus. My faith made a way. Faith made it possible. I don't know why I'm going to go here, but I'm going to show you that you are not going to run out of oil, and you're not going to run out of virtue. You're not going to run out of energy. You're not going to run out of faith. Look at Matthew chapter number 25. If we're still in Matthew 17, go a few chapters ahead to Matthew chapter 25. I pray this is blessing you today because I know I'm speaking to some people of faith, and you're having faith for your children. That's why God the Father showed up for the God the Son, and Jesus being a spiritual father to the disciples, he was showing them, listen, once I'm resurrected, then you can tell people about this experience, but I'm going to look over you from heaven. I'm going to be the one, through the power of my Holy Spirit, watching over you as I sit until God the Father make every enemy my footstool. So I need you guys to believe in me to such a degree that no matter what happens in your earthly life, I'm there for you. You know, I was watching the story, two little clippings today of Joni Erickson. Joni Erickson, powerful woman of God, Joni Erickson. And she had a diving accident at the age of 14. And she did a video, I think it was today or recently, and she said, I've now been paralyzed for 52 years. And she's still serving God. She's still honoring God. She has a ministry and a burden for the disabled and the handicapped. And she has saved thousands, possibly millions of souls for Jesus through her suffering experience. And she's still praising God. I think about 5 years ago, she got cancer and she went through chemotherapy. I think she's still taking chemotherapy. So on top of being paralyzed, on top of chemotherapy, this woman of God is getting older. She said, my outward body is perishing, but my inward body is being renewed day by day. And if you see her video, if you talk to her or Google her, I tell you, the stuff that we're going through, you know, sometimes we want to have a pity party or feel sorry for ourselves. And when I heard her story today, I was like, God, forgive me. My God. You never know. We never know how good we really do have it. When you watch a story like that in the earth realm today, she said 52 years being paralyzed, and a man in the Bible was paralyzed for only 38 years. And she said, Jesus, what do you think about 52? Jokingly, because she has a great sense of humor. But her story blessed me as I watched it today, and it kind of helped me with this lesson that faith makes it possible. It's making it possible for her because she said she lives in chronic pain. That means you have pain in your body every single day. And she's learned to live with it. She said when she wakes up, she prays for that new mercy. She prays for God to help her through that day. And stories like that encourage me. When I see people leaning on Jesus to that degree, I say, wow, God, we never know how good we have it and how blessed we really are. And sometimes when we have this oil and this virtue and this anointing, we gotta preserve the oil that God gives us. Sometimes people will try to reconnect to your life or because you're resourceful or you are a person who is a blessing. But always be mindful, even though we got to love everybody, we got to help people when we can. We're supposed to share and be a blessing to other people, but never at the expense of losing who you are. Never at the expense of losing yourself in the process. Never at the expense of putting your family and yourself at jeopardy. And that's what's happening here with the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter number 25. There's five wise and five foolish, and they're waiting for the bridegroom. They're waiting for their opportunity to be with Jesus, to be with their Lord, and they know they need this oil. So it says in Matthew 25, verse 1, This shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, unless there not be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy some for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and that they were ready went in, and with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch for, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh." The Bible says, watch and pray. And when you get this word in you, like this word Wednesday, you get the preach word on you like you did on Sunday. You get prayer in you to strengthen you on Tuesday. That's the reserve of oil. That's the new wine being poured in. That's new virtue and energy being poured into your life for the hard seasons and a hard time in the valleys that sometimes we all face. Like Pastor Rebecca talked about Sunday, she said, "I wanted to name this message, Don't Die in the Wilderness." Because we all have our wilderness experiences every now and again. And we have these tests that we all have to pass every now and again. Because when God called the Apostle Paul, he told Ananias, "I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer for my name's sake." In other words, God did not put suffering on Paul, but he was saying, "Paul, you're going to serve me so well, the devil is going to hate you. And the devil is the one that's going to come against you and is going to bring a degree of suffering. But Paul, I know you're going to remain faithful to me because you're going to get a crown of glory that nobody can remove from you." And we know Paul wrote a great deal of the New Testament. We know Paul was faithful to God until the very end. Paul went before Caesar and evangelized and tried to win him over for Christ. Paul did some great things because Paul never ran out of oil. The disciples never ran out of oil. They helped people, but they never helped to the degree where they lost themselves. Paul said, "Unless I become a castaway trying to help you, unless I become an infidel trying to help you." And Paul never got to the place, even though he said, "I become all things to all people that I might win some." Paul never lost all his reserve and all his oil trying to be a blessing to sometimes people that would drain him dry. And sometimes you got to be mindful of those that will drain you dry. Sometimes they don't do it intentionally, but still be mindful. I'm going to leave this story right here. But it says the wise virgins took the extra oil. In other words, they took extra suitcases, extra baggage. Their journey was harder because they had more weight to carry, but they were smarter. The ones who did not have the extra oil, which was weight, they had it light and they had it good for a season, but they needed the reserve. And by the time they went back and came back, the Son of Man had already come. But let's look at some other things that's helping us with our faith that makes it possible, how faith makes it possible. Pastor Rebecca said something so powerful in the prayer line yesterday, that faith is not a feeling. She said faith is not a feeling. I'm going to say that one more time as you turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, looking at the life of Hannah. Hannah could not go by how she felt. She had to go by what she believed and who she believed in. And sometimes God has us right there, not going by our emotions, not going by how we feel, not going by our opinion on the matter, but going by what he said. That's why when God spoke to the disciples, he said, "This is my son, listen to him." Amen. Pastor Becker said, faith is not a feeling. And I thought about that, and I said, God, I need to see an example of that in your word. Where can I go and see an example of that in your word? And he took me to Hannah. He took me to Hannah. Because Hannah was going through some emotional challenges. She's barren. She has a hater. She has a husband who really doesn't get her. And she's a woman who has this reproach. But look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 2. And we're going to see, because she didn't allow faith to control her feelings, how she got blessed in the end. And God is saying that to somebody on this Word Wednesday tonight. If you don't go by your feelings and your emotions and go by what you think on the matter and let God be God, we can have the same outcome that Hannah had. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 2, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Jump down to verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her for to make her fret or angry, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Can you imagine trying to go and worship God, but yet you're weeping because you have this woman or this other wife who is envious of you, and she's bringing you grief and torment and anger, and you don't know what to do? That's why I described that Hannah had a lot of emotional feelings going on. That's why she was weeping. That's why she was angry. But look at verse number 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest, or why are you crying? And why eat not? Why can't you eat? And why is your heart grieved? Why is your heart so broken? She can't eat. She has a broken heart, and she's crying all the time. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Now, he's trying to say, you should not be crying. You should be eating. You should be happy. You should be satisfied because I got money. I got prominence. I take care of you better than any man could ever take care of you. I can give you more than 10 sons could ever give you. What is your problem, woman? Look at verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest sat up at the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. Wow, she's now in depression almost, and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. She cried something awful. Her soul was bitter, but she prayed. And when Pastor Rebecca said faith is not a feeling, sometimes we got to push through. We got to press through those hard moments and those hard times. That's why I love all of you who press your way to prayer. And sometimes we got things going on in our personal lives. We got things going on at the job. We got things going on with our families and with our health. And yet on Tuesday night, we know we're coming for prayer. And we come in, maybe, you know, sometimes we get a prophetic word. But if nothing else, we get a chemistry. We get a camaraderie. We get a unity. We get a oneness on that Tuesday night that gets us through sometimes those hard seasons. That's why I love New Creation Church. If I wasn't a member, I would join. If I wasn't the pastor, I would join. Where do I sign up with folk like this? Glory to God. We have a great congregation. We have great people. We have great members and great partners. And I love New Creation Church. I love all of y'all. And Hannah, because she did not allow her faith to be drowned out by her feelings. Look at verse 17 to 20, and let's see the result of why and when she pressed, how God blessed her. Glory be to God, because she did not let her feelings outweigh her faith. Man, somebody need to write that down. I'm writing that down myself because it's not my notes. Do not let your feelings outweigh your faith. Glory be to God. We're still in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17 now. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Did you hear that? The Bible says she prayed. The man of God gave a prophetic word and said, you know, your petitions, and may God answer your prayers. And her whole attitude changed. In other words, I believe she started waiting in expectation for the miracle. Oh! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. She began to wait in expectation for the miracle. And that's what God is saying to somebody tonight. And that's why Pastor Anthony is teaching you tonight. Faith makes a way. Her faith is about to make a way for her to have a baby, although her womb was barren. Although, glory be to God, hallelujah, she could not have a baby. But her faith is now about to make it possible for her to give birth. Glory be to God. And God is saying to somebody today, hallelujah, put a smile on your face, get your joy back, get your praise back, get your excitement back, get your enthusiasm and your laughter back. Come on, somebody, in the name of Jesus, force a smile on your face, hallelujah, in spite of what you're going through and how you feel. Give God a hallelujah shout of praise right now in the name of Jesus. God, you are good all the time, and all the time you are good. We praise you for what you're about to do. We praise you for what you already done, and we praise you for keeping us and your keeping power in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, you are holy. God, you are sovereign. God, you are in total control, and we came to praise you. We came to magnify your name. We came to lift up the name of Jesus. God, you are a good God, and we know you're going to bring us through this valley. We know you're going to bring us through this fire. We know you're going to bring us through this pandemic. We know you're going to bring us through the protests and the racism in the name of Jesus. God, it's a famine, but our faith is going to make a way. It's a famine, but our faith is going to make it possible. It's a famine, but our faith is going to push us forward in the name of Jesus, because God, you said all things are possible for those of us who believe. We believe your word. We believe that our ladder will be greater. We believe that the sun will rise in the morning. We believe in the name of Jesus that our best days are the rest of our days. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at verse 19 and 20. And they rose up in the morning early and worship before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Behold, because I have asked him of the Lord." Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because I have asked him of the Lord blessed me. And that's what God is saying to somebody today. That's what the Lord is saying to somebody right now in the name of Jesus. That you asked me, and I heard you. You asked me, and I'm going to answer you. You asked me, and you prayed to me, and you brought that thing to me, and I'm going to bring it to pass in the name of Jesus. Be encouraged, beloved. Be encouraged, man of God. Be encouraged, woman of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Faith is going to make a way for you to get through that situation. Your faith is going to make a way for your family to come together. Your faith is going to make a way for your finances to rebound and to be restored. Your faith will make a way for you to get out of that situation. Your faith is going to make a way for you to be blessed and prosperous and highly favored of the Lord. To God be all of the glory. The Bible says Hannah prayed, and she said, because I brought that petition to the Lord, and he gave me this boy Samuel, I'm going to honor God with my son, with my life. And watch this, people, God, even though she dedicated Samuel back to Eli and back to God, and Samuel was one of the greatest prophets to ever live, she kept her word. She just wanted to have a baby. She didn't ask for nothing more. Bible says no way that she asked for other children. But God overwhelmed her with blessings. I said he would do exceeding and abundantly above all you could ever think, ask, or imagine. So she didn't raise Samuel. Eli the prophet, Eli the priest, raised up Samuel to be a man of God that none of his words fell to the ground. He anointed David king. He anointed Saul king. Samuel did great, great, great things for the children of Israel. But if you keep reading, faith kept making it possible for Hannah to have another baby and another baby and another baby. Come on here, somebody. That's why we said last night, increase come in increments. Increase comes in increments. And God is saying, don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose, glory to God, your belief and trust in me. But I'm God. And with me, all things are possible. I'm going to pray. And I'm believing God for you. I'm believing God for myself. I'm believing God for New Creation Church. During the time of pandemic, things begin to reopen, and then things begin to close back down. Some things are happening out of our control. We have to be prophetic and hear from God. That's why I'm so glad I saw that scripture tonight. They heard from God. They heard from Jesus. Now you and I hear through the prophetic voice and the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for New Creation Church. I'm going to pray for all those that will listen to the recording, that their faith will continue to make it possible. Whatever that it is, faith is going to make it possible. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these, your children. We saw through the disciples tonight. We saw through Hannah. We saw, glory be to God, through the life of 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, that faith make things possible. So God, in your son Jesus' name, I pray that we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. You said to just, meaning your sons and your daughters, we are the righteous, we are the redeemed of the Lord, the just shall live. This is a lifestyle for us. We shall live by faith. 4 times in the Bible, 3 in the Old Testament, 3 in the New Testament, 1 in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. So God, I pray that their faith won't waver. I pray that their faith won't leave them. I pray that they walk by faith and not by sight all the rest of their days in the name of Jesus. And God, whatever it is they need, whatever miracle, whatever manifestation, whatever healing, whatever deliverance, whatever breakthrough, whatever change, we are coming into agreement with them tonight and saying, Lord, have your way. Eli agreed with Hannah's prayer and said, may the Lord grant you your petition. Elkanah and Peninnah had to see the miracle. Glory be to God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Elkanah and Peninnah saw the power of prayer. So God, I pray for these your children. In Jesus' name, amen. We give God praise for you tonight. Please sow a seed into the ministry. We will see you all on Sunday at 12:30. To God be the glory. Go in peace and serve the Lord.